Welcome here to Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora here inside of New York Comic Con. We are broadcasting live. Very happy to be here at New York Comic Con, October 6th to the 9th. And happy to be here in our booth on 1878. So come out and see us, main floor, 1878. And giving away, we're doing the prize wheel, giving away a bunch of prizes, a lot of fun. A lot of people spending so far, a bunch of new likes to the page. People going home happy with some cool stuff. The first person that spun, Nick.
Special prize.
Got a special prize. And if people are lucking out like that, I'm gonna have to start reinvesting in some inventory.
She was very happy, too. She got the...
She was ecstatic. She had the
Scarlet Witch.
Funko Pop Scarlet Witch, which was kind of hard for me to part with, but... It's okay. You want to know the one that I kept? The Daredevil one. It's back of the house.
Yeah.
So Daredevil, before he had the suit from the TV show, when he was the black blindfold and, you know, his sticks and whatnot.
Oh, good. So it was a TV show version.
Yeah. I wanted to keep that because it was different. You know, it wasn't something that you normally get. So how are you? My producer, Nick Rose Cicero.
Doing good.
Up in the house here. We have worked together for how many years?
Eight?
I think it's eight, right?
Eight?
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about it?
I still got the first email that you sent me asking me to do extra work for you. And I was like, who does this guy think he is making me do work on a Saturday?
Do you really have that?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Did you star it and put it in a special folder?
It is. It's in a special folder.
Oh, that's cool. Well, that's the thing. They told me, they're like, we're giving you a producer. And I had never had one at the time. I mean, you know, this many years ago, I didn't have one before. And they said, we've basically given you someone you can't choose. So you better like each other because we really don't care if you don't.
That's true.
And we ended up liking each other, which was good. And both leaving a very interesting company experience. So it was nice. But that's how we met back in the day, back in Orlando, Florida.
And now here we are playing at Comic-Con together.
Yeah, here we are playing around at New York Comic-Con. We got to walk around for a little bit early on. You know, that's the beauty of being here and being an exhibitor, is that you kind of get to roll around and see what's available. I do want to make a note here that we got to meet somebody very, very
cool. Someone actually just threw a Chinese takeout menu onto your T-shirt.
That's very nice. I thought they, you know, I find it weird that they let Chinese takeout people come into your hotel and leave it outside your door, but the guy, so first time I can honestly say anybody's left a Chinese takeout menu on my Larger Than Life T-shirt.
Yeah.
They do? Oh, that's pretty awesome. Well, maybe I'll thank him in the future. Can we put out a big shout out, though, to James Silvani?
Silvani. You're excited.
I'm very excited about this guy. Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, he draws the Darkwing Duck comic, the new stuff.
The new comics.
Yeah.
Orange is the New Purple. I love that. And he has, I don't think I should tell people what he has. He's got a really nice picture that I'm going to buy. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but somebody go out and buy it. But I'm very, very excited about what he's got going on over there.
I bet you it has Darkwing Duck on it.
It does have Darkwing Duck on it. So we got to check out Artist Alley. We got to walk around the red carpet, see what's going on. Once again, we're at booth 1878, so come out and see us. We're right by the Marvel booth. You literally walk through the main doors, you see the Marvel booth, and you head to your right. And we're right over here by Crunchyroll.
And by the women's restroom.
And by the men's and women's restroom.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess that's helpful. So, Nick, initial impressions. You know, you and I got to get in here early. I was here at the ripe time of, I think, 7:30. We got here around 8.
Yeah.
And we got to kind of poke around and see what was going on. So, first impressions of New York Comic Con 2016.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, that early, there's not the huge rush of the crowd yet, but, you know, a decent amount of people coming in. And once, obviously, the doors opened at 10, I mean, the place was just flooded. But I will say that a really good thing, it opens at 10 each day.
Yeah.
And they let you start lining up for those queues downstairs at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And in the past, you know, you're lining up for these queues to do the main panels, like the main stage panels.
Yeah, like what this year would be Inside the Upside Down with Stranger Things, Doctor Who, S.H.I.E.L.D.,
all that
so
stuff.
On and so forth, Iron Fist.
And in the past, you're lining up and you have to get these wristbands.
Yeah.
And that really slows down the process. People putting on the wristbands, people getting in. This was, now you just scan the badge.
You literally just walk up with your badge. Well, because they kind of caught on to it.
Yeah.
Is this, last year you entered with your badge, they scanned it, and it said green light valid, and you went in.
Yeah.
And now they're using the same technology to get you in a panel, and it's on your badge.
Right.
So you don't have to keep track of anything.
Yeah, so now this knows I'm going to Doctor Who later on today, and you just go, you scan it at the door to get into the theater, and you're in.
And now you don't have to fight to get the wristbands off anymore.
Right. And honestly, the process of putting on the wristbands takes a decent amount of time, clogged up the lines. This is a lot quicker than tapping a band. It was a really smooth process. Now, we were there. We were in the,
we were very early.
Very early. Actually, but I mean, a half an hour after, people have been getting scans for about a half an hour.
I remember last time we would literally stand in a line for an hour with hundreds and hundreds of people. And at the end of it all, they would yell out, there's no more wristbands.
Yeah. I mean, even that
was crazy.
Yeah, so the show floor was packed. But today, see, that's the thing. Today, the show floor line is going to be more packed. People trying to get in, be the first to get those exclusives out there. Toy Tokyo booth, that was always popular, has the most popular stuff. The Funko, all that.
Well, I mean, we talked about how the special prize box that's on the Carvel Fresh Wheel of Giveaways.
Fresh.
Want to thank Carvel, America's freshest ice cream, for being the proud presenting partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora here at New York Comic Con.
Free samples.
No, not this year, Nicholas.
I mean, it's relevant.
I'm here to make people hungry, but there's plenty of Carvel locations around the surrounding area. So what I'm going to do is make you so hungry and need it so bad that you may leave to go get the ice cream and come back.
Oh, I will. I'm craving Carvel right now. And, in fact, if we did have the free samples here, show's called Larger Than Life, I would be a bit larger than life by the end of Sunday if we had free samples of Carvel.
They have Carvel Light now, though. Less calories per ounce.
No.
Yes, they do.
Stop it.
They do, and it tastes the same.
Does it?
Carvel Light.
Carvel Light. Taste test.
Less calories per ounce.
I want
vanilla chocolate or a twist.
All right. I want light and regular in front of me.
There's nothing better.
All right.
There's nothing better. When was the last time you had a Carvel ice cream cake?
Oh, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time because you're down in Florida. See? And in your area, Nick lives in the boonies of Florida, but you live out in the middle of nowhere where you lose signal.
We have very few Carvel in Florida, very
which
few.
Is very, very sad. We got to bring it back.
It's a Northeast thing. So I grew up on Carvel.
Yeah.
Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale.
Fudgy the Whale,
Fudgy the Whale. I mean, there are so many awesome things that Carvel does. I work with Carvel DeWitt in Central New York on 4322 East Genesee Street in DeWitt, New York. It's the longest standing Carvel franchise, over 62 years.
Do they still do the clown ice cream cake with the bubblegum ball nose?
I don't think that they have the bubblegum nose. Okay. Have you seen the crazy ones that they do now?
No.
At the Carvel DeWitt, they do a giant cheeseburger. They have Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold.
They have Stewie from Family Guy. So, a lot of cool stuff. And they have little mini cakes, or little, mini cupcake ice cream cakes now, where it's like a ghost, or it's Frankenstein, one of the cool things they did is they had a white cake that literally just had, someone's, handprint of blood, like The Walking Dead.
Oh, nice.
Really awesome. Shout out to The Walking Dead. Walking Dead's going to be here, Nick. Right? Opening impressions.
Well, they're going to be at Madison Square Garden, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But here's our thing, opening impressions of here at Comic-Con, our badges have The Walking Dead on it, so is it fair to say that maybe they bought into it a little bit?
I think a little bit. They're on the back of the
program. On the back of the program with Negan making his choice. Let me see this picture.
Who's he going to choose?
I wrote a story about this. People should go read it on largerthanlifedt.com. You just click on articles.
Does that happen this Sunday night?
It turns October 23rd.
Okay, so later in the... Yeah, it's right there.
Birthday weekend.
Yeah.
It is my birthday weekend. And my wife's dad is driving in to watch the show with me. He's like, I cannot go another season without watching the premiere with you. And Mel. Mel's awesome.
Yes.
Mel is the guy. So I'm gonna prognosticate a little bit here with you.
Okay.
Okay, I have four parts to my thoughts on The Walking Dead. Mm. It's a four part of what I think is going to happen. Part one, it's not going to be Glenn.
Okay.
At least not initially.
All right.
You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because it's underwhelming. They've been building this thing up like crazy. So for this to end up being Glenn, it would be underwhelming. I think you'd piss off a lot of fans. It'd be upsetting. And the TV show has been known to go off script in a comic book, where a comic book death is the same in the TV show, but it's a different character.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrese had his head chopped off by the governor in the comic book. Herschel had it in the TV show. So I think it's going to be Abraham. You want to know why?
Why?
Because you know how they like to do those little foreshadowing moments. Do you remember when they were driving and Abraham's with Sasha and they're going to all those roadblocks and he looks at her and he says that he's kind of ready to have a family with her?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a moment of you're going to go. And then that light shines in, right? And it's got the light coming in, kind of looks heavenly around him. And he puffed up his chest with Negan, right. And Negan was kind of like, oh, yeah. We got a big boy now. So yes. I think he's going first. What do you think?
Ooh, that's a good
I think choice. It's Abraham. I think what we saw end season 6 is Abraham. I think the guy that gets his head bashed in is Mr. Abraham. What do you think?
Well, personally, I'd love Rick's son to die. He annoys me.
That's not going to happen right now.
So he can go.
He's going to take over and be a leader.
Man.
Now, who would you like to see? Who do you think it's going to be? I think a lot of people would like to see Eugene, but we know that's not going
to
happen.
No, I wouldn't like to see Eugene.
You don't want to see Eugene die?
No, I don't want to see Eugene
die. He hasn't had to do much of anything in a long time.
I like that. He's fine.
He said that there was a cure. Oh, Nick, he had to go. You got to kill him when you find out there's no cure.
No.
You like the mullet? Do you like the mullet or do you like the pony?
He's one of my favorite characters.
That's insane. Why is he one of your favorite characters, should I ask?
I don't know. I think he's just interesting. He's interesting to listen to and watch. And I like how he pisses other people off.
Respect the hair
I
game.
I like that.
You like when he says that? Respect the hair game. Said that to Abraham.
Yeah.
Who do you think... So, legitimately, who do you think is going? Who's dying? First. The one that we saw... Of him bashing somebody's head in. Who do you think
You think multiple people are
going to
die?
Well, that's another part of my theory. I think he's going to kill Abraham, and all the people are going to go, oh, my God, it's not Glenn, and then he's going to kill Glenn. I think it's Abraham, then Glenn. I think he's going to bash Abraham's head in and say, you know what, I'm not done, I'm still angry. And he's going to wield that bat, and he's going to use Lucille on Glenn next, and that'll throw everybody off, even the comic book readers.
I think... You can't kill... I mean, logically, you'd kill Rick, but you can't.
Well, logically, right? Yeah, you got to kill Rick.
Is he literally the only character that can't die unless...
This is the thing about Walking Dead.
Can he?
Back in the day, anybody could die, right?
Yeah.
That's what made the show exciting.
But
none of the main characters have died, really, for a couple seasons, unless you count Beth. Daryl's alive, Michonne's alive, Carol's alive.
I'm going Michonne.
You think Michonne?
Yeah.
I don't think he'll kill a woman first. Why do you think Michonne?
Because I think that'll affect Rick.
That's true. That's a good point.
It'll affect Rick the most without killing Rick.
But who's going to wield...
Well, if he kills his son, too, but I don't see that happening.
Who's going to wield a katana like Michonne, though? Nobody.
Maybe,
nobody.
I don't know. Maybe someone else picks it up.
Do you think there will be two deaths or just one?
No, I like the idea of the two deaths, but the second death has to be
Glenn,
because it also wouldn't make sense.
There is no way that man ended up under that trash can and under that body without getting any... It's just... There's too much. I feel like we're going to find out that the TV show's lost and Glenn died like 3 seasons ago. He should have been dead.
That'd be amazing.
They've saved him for way too long. I love Glenn, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying he's made it through... I love it too much at this point.
That'd be funny.
So, my other theory is that they're not all in a line, right? I think he's going to pull the person forward, Abraham, and he's going to make Abraham kneel there while the whole group has to watch, powerless, right? And he's going to talk for like 2 or 3 minutes about what he's going to do to Abraham before he does it. And we're going to be powerless as viewers, and they're going to be powerless, and that's going to rip your chest right out.
Yeah.
It's going to make you care about Abraham a little bit more, that red-headed wonder.
Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, is the proud presenting partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora's live broadcasting booth inside of New York Comic Con from October 6th to the 9th, right here in 2016. Come and see us, hear our broadcast, and try your luck with the Carvel Ice Cream Fresh Wheel of Giveaways. Got to like the page on Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora on Facebook, and then you have an opportunity to spin the wheel right here in the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora live broadcasting booth, doing shows all throughout New York Comic Con 2016 about the heroes, the villains, the shows, the characters, everything that you love in the world that we're all proud to live in, all thanks to America's freshest ice cream. There's nothing like a Carvel memory. Share one today by going to your local Carvel. Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, and the proud partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora.
So what else about New York Comic Con is making you feel good right now? A lot of people here today.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. Today I'm doing Hasbro, the Star Wars
right?
Yeah, seeing the latest Star Wars toys, getting excited about what's coming out.
If there's anything BB-8, you need to get it for me.
They don't really give anything out there. They just kind of tell about like future
stuff.
I'm
not asking what they do. I'm telling you to go backstage and figure it out.
That's when we got to see all the cool what's coming up with the Force Awakens toys last year. Now the Rogue One, live Rogue One.
So what are you expecting? What are you hoping for
in that particular panel?
Like Hasbro, Star Wars. Is there anything you were tipped off about?
No, Rogue One? I can't wait to see like the next line of figures that they choose to come out with. That's always exciting because they do that new Black series.
Are you expecting a Vader?
A few years. No, there's been plenty of Vader.
Okay.
There's been plenty of that. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some Vader merchandise for Rogue One. There hasn't been in the first release on Force Friday, which was interesting. No Vader stuff.
What came out? For the people that don't know.
So we had Force Friday on September 30th when they released the new Rogue One line of merchandise. So you got a lot of the 3-inch action figures, Jyn Erso, of course, the main female character in Rogue One. So she has a whole line of stuff.
Can I ask you a question to cut in really quick?
Yeah.
Do you think that she will become Captain Phasma?
No.
Some people do. I'm just
asking. Serious?
Yeah, I'm asking.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Do you think that she'll connect to anybody in a big way? To the greater story?
I don't think so, and I don't think it needs to.
Do you think it's going to be like a true standalone?
No. I mean,
it's connected, obviously, to Death Star, but do you think that she will be a true standalone?
I do.
Okay. So go on. So
it'd be too ridiculous for them to try to tie stuff in like that.
I think we're going to find out that it's Rick's sister from Walking Dead. That's going to happen.
So the Black Series 6-inch figures came out. The new 4 Rogue One figures. The new droid that we see. That's kind of like a tall droid. Death Trooper, which is all black Stormtrooper.
I like that.
Yeah, Jyn Erso, and then. Cassian something. I don't even know his name now.
What do you think about Jyn Erso? You like the character?
Yeah. I think she's going to be cool. I don't think she's going to be Rey good, but I think she's going to be
kind of looks
awesome.
Like Rey, though.
A little bit. Yeah. But I don't think any of these... I don't know. It'd be hard-pressed to see any of these standalone movie characters really... getting the pop culture kind of the way the
Do you think there's enough behind it, though, to have this standalone that's not a true Star Wars movie?
It is a true Star Wars movie.
I shouldn't say like that. Not a typical, in the line.
It's not a saga movie.
It's a piece. It's like a side story.
It is, and I love that. I love
you do
because
like
there's
that.
So many stories to tell. There's so much to fill in. I don't want to see the story of the Rebels stealing the
What standalone would you like to see the most? If you could pick any character to get to know better.
Well, I love the idea of there's the idea of the bounty hunter movie. So we get all the bounty hunters that, so I'd love to see the history of those bounty hunters, how they got to that point in Empire Strikes Back, where they were summoned by Jabba to go search for Falcon. Yeah.
I would like to see a story about how Jabba the Hutt used to be skinny and just lost it. Just lost control.
No, a good standalone would be the Jabbas.
You know what I would like to see, though?
The Hutts.
You know what I'm going to say. I want to see a movie about BB-8, an all-droid movie with BB-8.
Yeah, BB-8.
How BB-8 rises to power.
Well, a little story, yeah.
It should be called Rolling to Power.
Wow. You already got it down.
So, that's copywritten.
Yeah.
Rolling to Power. I don't want to see that anywhere if I'm not getting royalties. But I love BB-8. It's funny. My favorite Disney character is Pluto. He doesn't speak.
Yeah.
My favorite character in Star Wars right now is BB-8. I mean, and they speak, but not English, yeah. You know. But BB-8, when he flips out that thumbs up when it's the lighter,
I don't think anybody,
if you don't find that adorable, you're a terrible person.
It's the best.
So you're really excited about Rogue One.
I am. We had some Legos come out from Rogue One. We've had some action figure sets and things like that. And,
yeah.
You know, the guns, the costumes, things of that nature. So, but for, you know, in this panel today, I'm looking forward to whatever the next is. We already know. This Black Series is really cool. It's a 6-inch action figure, so they're more detailed, more collector oriented, and so I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. And we know Lando and Imperial Guard are coming out and stuff like that, but I want to know, because last year they showed us all the next stuff, the Star Wars Rebels, Han Solo, so it'll be cool.
You know, my uncle's name is Joe Lando.
No.
Maybe they should make an action figure.
No,
I don't know, they could be. It could be.
So
but I don't know. I mean, I'm excited about Rogue One. I mean, I'm obviously gonna see it because we're gonna talk about it on the show. But I'm gonna give it a shot.
I have a feeling it might be one of the best Star Wars films of the entire run. It looks pretty good. It looks fun.
Yeah.
And they're not beholden to this saga thing. You know, there doesn't need to be a larger thing. And I think that's a good thing because I think they don't have those constraints, so they could do what they want and tell this specific story, and we don't have to worry about speculation, wondering, and all this stuff, and does this fit here, does this fit...
Right.
No, they're just telling this one story.
It's a plan to steal the Death Star, or to destroy the Death Star, I should
And say. It has Darth Vader still kind of in his prime. You know, because when we got him in the original trilogy, he wasn't really in his prime anymore.
No, he wasn't in his prime.
I think it'll be awesome to see a live-action Vader fighting.
I want them to explain the backstory of Darth Vader on how Hayden Christensen became James Earl Jones.
more people have played Vader than like anything. Like
it's so crazy.
So many Vaders. Because there was, I think like there was four different Vaders in the original trilogy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously James Earl Jones did the voice.
The voice, yeah.
There was somebody to do the moving around. There was somebody when he was unmasked and Jedi. You know.
It's crazy.
Then you had Hayden.
Yeah. Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. And you had what's his face, Jake Lloyd too.
And who?
Jake Lloyd. If you're talking Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, I will say, I know a lot of people run away from the prequels like crazy, but I can say that I did like the Phantom Menace's. I like the pod racers. I thought those were cool.
Yeah, I don't get why people don't like the prequels. I mean, I could see why, but I love them. Love them.
I think whenever you tell people that we're gonna go out of and we're gonna come back. You know, we're gonna go 4, 5, 6, then 1, 2, 3. Because that means The Force Awakens is 7. Right, you know, so you keep moving forward, but I'm excited about what Star Wars can be. And, you know, moving forward, I think fans are happy with what Disney chose to do.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we'll see where episode 8 takes us, but it's going to get darker.
So I'll tell you, I'm a little saddened. I mean, I guess there's not much more they could do with Rogue One, but I'm a little saddened that they don't have some of the team here, the cast here, to kind of talk about... to kind of talk about what's going on.
They're sharing with people how the Chinese buffet just...
Yeah.
Toss it right on the T-shirts. Chinese buffet. Come
you
order.
Need to add that to the price.
I'm advertising for them, so they should pay me.
It's pretty expensive.
Yeah, they should definitely pay me.
So,
how about with every T-shirt you get a free Chinese menu?
Wow, I like that.
You like that? See,
I like that.
We got some fans here. I like that.
So a little saddened that they're not here, but I'm really upset that no Star Wars Rebels panel is this year. Because last year
was good. We both watched that.
Yeah,
that
we got to see the first time they showed the Ahsoka and Vader fight scene, you know, they where they met up.
It got me into the show because I can say good. I didn't watch it before.
Yeah.
But after I saw that with you, I kind of got why you were into it. You know,
I'd go so far as to say Rebels might be one of the best Star Wars things products out there. I mean, I like it even better than some of the movies. If I was ranking Rebels in with everything else, I mean, Rebels would be way up there. It's so good. And this season's off to a great start, and I would have loved to see them here. So I'm a little disappointed at the lack of Star Wars here. Now, I will say, I was talking with a friend of mine, and there might be a little Star Wars fatigue, and they might be afraid of that because, you know, if they're doing one a year.
But you gotta gear up Rogue One. We gotta do some stuff here.
Yeah. So we'll see. But Marvel's got a nice presence here today.
Yeah, Marvel's got a lot going on. Right. Marvel has this huge, massive screen behind them now that they didn't have last year. I mean, this is like a mini version of the main stage, kind of right on the main floor.
Yeah, a lot going on there. Really pushing Doctor Strange very hard in their little freebies.
Less
on the
than
table.
A month.
Yep. And
did you get me any of those?
No, we can still grab those. I grabbed the big thing.
So what did you get? What did Marvel have this morning? Let's share it with the people.
Well, the first thing is this. You might want to maybe even Instagram that. We could post the picture so people can see it.
Oh, the Groot one. Yeah, let me grab that
now. Yeah, the Groot poster is really neat because I didn't know this, but apparently the astronauts up in the space station have that as a patch on their uniforms right now. And it's really nice. It's Rocket and Groot. And see, it says ISS National Lab. So the astronauts right up there in the ISS right now have that as a patch on their shoulder. And I think that's pretty cool.
Groot?
This is a patch.
That.
Yeah, this.
So that whole thing?
That whole thing is a patch on the astronaut's shoulder.
So our astronauts are wearing Rocket Raccoon and Groot.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Right? Isn't that neat?
How cool is that?
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, Nick and I are huge, huge Disney fans, and we rival each other in how many times, I guess, we've been there. Because I did not live in Florida, but we always went down every year, and Nick's down in Florida. Then I lived there for a little while, so the whole east of the Mississippi thing, well, let's talk about that a little bit. Oh. Will it ever change? And how vague is this thing? Can there never be a Marvel ride at Walt Disney World?
That's not the case. You know, there's talk, and wouldn't be surprised if we get an announcement about a Marvel attraction coming to Walt Disney World here at New York Comic Con.
I lose my mind.
I don't know if they'll do it or not. So the rumor is a Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster replacing the Universe of Energy at Epcot at Walt Disney World.
Because Guardians of the Galaxy is getting Mission Breakout in Disneyland. Yeah,
yeah, replacing the tower. Well, not replacing, basically an overhaul of the Tower of Terror out there.
Yeah.
And they could use the Marvel brand. Now, the idea with Guardians is what we're learning, we don't know all the details, and apparently they're not willing to actually release the details or whatever, but they seem like as long as Marvel doesn't appear in the title, they could probably do it, or certain characters. And it seems like Guardians falls outside of the characters that they can't use east of the Mississippi in Walt
Disney. They never thought that a tree and a raccoon would sell anything, I guess.
Maybe.
Who knows?
So Universal Orlando has the rights to the Marvel stuff.
Is it like forever rights?
Well,
these can't be eternal rights, can they?
There's a lot of different rumors out there. From the most, the one that seems the likeliest is it seems like as long as Marvel doesn't alter their properties, like as soon as they stop operating Spider-Man or want to alter the attraction, upgrade or refer, but actually alter, make it different.
What would that entail? I mean, like the Spider-Man 4D thing, would you have to make it just...
Well, it might entail tearing that out and building a new Spider-Man ride. Like, they wouldn't be able to do that.
And once that happens and they lose it?
It seems like they might lose it. So they have to keep these operating as is.
Can they build new rides at Universal that are Marvel-related?
I don't think so.
Because he's the Hulk, he's Doctor Doom. there's
I think there
Spider-Man.
Might be certain properties that they can use.
Okay.
But, like maybe X-Men, things like that. But I don't think they could build new stuff.
Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, is the proud presenting partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora's live broadcasting booth inside of New York Comic Con from October 6th to the 9th, right here in 2016. Come and see us, hear our broadcast, and try your luck with the Carvel Ice Cream Fresh Wheel of Giveaways. You gotta like the page on Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora on Facebook, and then you have an opportunity to spin the wheel right here in the Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora live broadcasting booth, doing shows all throughout New York Comic Con 2016 about the heroes, the villains, the shows, the characters, everything that you love in the world that we're all proud to live in, all thanks to America's freshest ice cream. There's nothing like a Carvel memory. Share one today by going to your local Carvel. Carvel Ice Cream, America's freshest ice cream, and the proud partner of Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora.
So, this East of the Mississippi thing, though, this is all because of Universal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's like certain merchandise can't be sold within the theme parks. Like, that's why they have a Marvel store at Disney Springs, because a lot of the Marvel stuff can't be sold everywhere in the theme parks. You can't use the Marvel name in the theme parks. One of the biggest examples was when they had an advertisement for a Marvel movie on the monorail. That monorail couldn't be on the loop that went inside Epcot, because that would be breaking the rules.
Which is, I mean, it's pretty insane, but we know that there is going to be this new, there's going to be the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, which is going to make, you know, Tower of Terror is going to appear the same as far as the outline of it, but it's going to have this, you know, the Collector is going to have his place.
Right, exactly.
Because basically, the Collector, Benicio del Toro's character, is going to not only have his collection, but part of his collection is going to be the five Guardians.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I think
we're going to break out with them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a cool overlay. I think it's much needed out there. We'll still have the Tower of Terror, Twilight Zone themed in Orlando, and that'll be cool. And you know what? Universe of Energy, it's time to go. So if that rumor comes to be true, I don't necessarily mind a cool Marvel roller coaster.
I'm just trying to picture, is it big enough to hold a roller coaster in there?
No, they'd level the building and build a
roller coaster. And just nothing. So yeah. Just take it down. Yeah. I mean, the thing has basically been a place that houses plants for a while.
Universe of Energy? Well, is the dinosaurs?
No. I'm thinking of Body Wars. I'm thinking of Body Wars.
Well, you're thinking of Living with the Land.
I'm thinking of the other one.
Yeah, no, not that.
Yeah, that one needs to be something else, too.
Ellen's Universe, you know, without
Universe of Energy, we're talking about
Jeopardy and Trebek and dinosaurs. And
yeah, we're talking about Bill Nye and Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes.
Yes, okay. So, the ride that is 40 minutes long and most people have nice naps.
Yes.
So, I did like it. It's a very long ride. But Guardians could be something. This could be.
Well, we think, and it looks like the reason we're thinking the announcement here is it looks like Universe of Energy might be going down for refurb in January.
Yeah.
Or like cast members there have been told that that's your last day of working. So we would think they'd be announcing something, and then you know,
we'll have people know what's going on. But the whole so to speak on Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, though, it's essentially going to be we're in the Collector's Fortress. So we're going to be able to see a bunch of his collections.
Yes.
And not only that, but we're going to see the Guardians. They're going to break out with us, and we're going to try and get the heck out of there. But it's going to have a Star Tours feel to it, where every time you break out, it's supposed to be a different experience. From what I read recently.
That's what people are thinking, so we'll see if that comes true. Yeah.
What do you think about the idea of breaking out with the Guardians?
I love it. No, I think the Guardians of the Galaxy are great characters, and I think it's it'll be a fun thing, and it's the first, in California, it's the first step to a Marvel land. I mean, the whole Hollywood backlot area is going to be leveled and turned into a Marvel land. So this is the first one.
Because there's nothing west of the Mississippi. There's no worry about
that. Why they're choosing Guardians, I don't know exactly, but that's the property they decided to go with.
I think you have a lot of fun with them. I think maybe they're doing it because of what you said. that, because Disneyland's always been a testing ground for Disney World. Yeah. So you put the Guardians out there, see how it does, and then you go, okay, you know what, Disney World, green light. You can use those characters to make the roller coaster. We got a good response.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe.
But something about them, something about Star-Lord and Alec, something about the way that they escape, it would just
be
more fun.
Looking at us.
What?
Samuel L. Jackson is looking at us, and it's kind of disturbing.
Oh, yeah, he's on the screen right now.
Next to us is some kind of
animation.
CGI animation. That's pretty cool. So I'm seeing different things appear on their screen.
It's funny how Samuel Jackson can look like he likes you and he hates you at the same time.
Very true.
Like, that literally looks like I'm about to kill this man, and it also looks like I appreciate that man.
Oh, now he's moving. Yeah. There you go.
Now he's moving. So now I'm doubly as terrified as I was before. But to kind of go with what the Guardians and what this could be and escaping with them and whatnot, the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy, the main cast, so our Guardians, Benicio del Toro, the Collector, they all shot new scenes outside of the movie for this ride. So we're going to see footage of them getting back together that I'm sure they got paid a hefty lump sum for.
Yeah.
And so I think that's cool, too. I mean, just to go on the ride and see new footage.
Yeah, I love when they do that. They do that with Star Tours as well. And, it's always good to see them putting in that effort. And that's what you expect from a Disney Parks attraction. So, you know, I think the DCA one is going to be great. I think the Tower of the Breakout, I think that one is going to be very, very excellent. A little bit wary about the Orlando one, knowing what we know. But now knowing what we know, I think it's probably going to end up being a virtual reality coaster. SeaWorld bringing virtual reality glasses to the Kraken next year, where you'll actually put on these VR glasses. So you'll be on a roller coaster wearing VR glasses. And it'll look like you're diving under the sea with ancient and modern sea
creatures. And I promise you that people will be throwing up a lot.
Oh, 100%.
They'll be
I think that's kind of the future, so I can see that being in the Guardians of the Galaxy one, too.
Yeah. No, I think it'll be great. I think it's a great idea. I think what's to come is going to be pretty amazing. So, and I love the Guardians, but it's said that Disney is going to be very aggressive with this changeover to try and have this ready by summer 2017 when Volume 2 of Guardians of the Galaxy comes out.
Yeah, I think it has to be. They're moving along really quickly. I think it'll be installed very summer, fall of 2017.
Yeah. So let's hope that Walt Disney World gets some Guardians of the Galaxy, because it's gotten very dated. Now, Soarin' is new, and Frozen is there, but we're seeing a very dated...
Say the least.
Yeah. I think if they did, like, in the world, you know, like, in the World Showcase, if they did a World War II ride, it would probably be very exhilarating.
No.
just to bring it all back, Germany and Italy and America on one side, it'd be interesting, Nick.
It would
cause many arguments, but what type of ride can you put in the World Showcase?
You can base them on a lot of the Disney.
You can do a gondola for Italy.
A lot of people like the idea of a Ratatouille ride in France. Stuff like that. You could theme stuff.
I like
well
the idea
there
of a ride where French food is cheaper.
I think more things have to happen in Future World. I think that's the place to work on.
Well, it's called Future World, and it's like very much in the past now.
A lot of people don't like Marvel coming in there, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
You really think people don't like Marvel going in?
Oh, I know.
Epcot?
I know people don't. People are so against it.
Why?
Because it doesn't fit Epcot. It doesn't fit what Epcot is or what Epcot means to be. Epcot's supposed to be a place that does have a pavilion on energy, and you on energy. And
well, Epcot's not supposed to have a Frozen ride either, so.
Well, yeah, so that's
very
where
true.
Downfall started.
Norway was not happy about that, were they?
They didn't care, actually.
They didn't?
No, because they were asked to pay up to refurb Maelstrom, and they said no, so Disney was like, all right, well, it's gone then.
That's how Disney kind of works with it, though. Pay to do a refurbishment. No. Okay, well, then we're changing the ride.
Well, the pavilions are sponsored by the countries.
Yeah.
They're funded by them.
That's pretty insane. Any of the country goes through like a huge depression and they have to pay for their land at Epcot.
Yeah.
Like Italy, that they went through a few years back. But it's definitely very, very interesting. We discussed a lot, just kind of talking about opening day here.
I got to get to that Hasbro toy.
Oh, yeah, you got to go do your thing. Nick is frantically looking at his phone right now.
Well, I'm getting hurricane alerts, too.
Oh, there's a thing. But see, I like the New York Comic Con app. It says plenty of room for 1A21. So it'll actually let me know different panels and different things have space. And I would anticipate it telling me when something's going to be full, too.
You going to come learn about toys with me? Did you want to do that?
I might come learn about toys with you and come back and talk about it.
All right, sounds good.
So this has been Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora right here inside of New York Comic Con. Come see us at booth 1878. Try your luck with the Carvel America's Freshest Ice Cream Fresh Wheel of Giveaways. You spin the wheel, and whatever you end up getting is a prize that you will receive. And we have T-shirts for $5 as well for Larger Than Life with Dan Tortora. And Nick's taking the Chinese menu off of my T-shirt, so I thank him for that. So, we will talk with you very soon. We'll be doing live shows all throughout New York Comic Con, October 6th to the 9th. And in the meantime, we appreciate it. Stop by the booth, grab a business card, get to know us, like the page, listen to the show, and we'll talk to you shortly.